We're not live streaming. It's loading. Tell me when we're up, okay? Okay. All right, we're gonna start, okay? Just give me a thumbs up when it goes on live stream, okay? Bless the Lord. Hallelujah. We're not live streaming. It's loading. Tell me when we're up, okay? We're gonna start, okay? Just give me a thumbs up when it goes on live stream, okay? Bless the Lord, hallelujah.
Shalom, Shabbat Shalom, Shabbat 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 Shalom, Shabbat 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 Shalom, Shabbat 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 Shalom, Shabbat Shalom, Shabbat Shalom, Shabbat 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 Shalom. Yom Zeh Israel.
Hallelujah. Father, we come before you. We thank you for this Shabbat. We thank you, Lord, that in spite of sunshine and holiday weekends, that your Shabbat never ceases. And we come to worship you. We have Saturday night and Sunday, and we have Monday to play. But this is your Shabbat, and you said to keep it as a covenant, a sign of the covenant between you and your people forever and ever. And so we bless you, Lord. We thank you. We come here today to honor your Shabbat instead of sleeping in or mowing the lawn. And we just thank you, Lord, for Shabbat. We just pray for the sound and the audio, Lord. We bind the enemy. We just pray everything goes well with the sound and the audio and the live stream. We lift it up to you. We pray that you help Diane and Isaac and help them to get it working, everything smoothly. That all the routers and all the servers, all the internet will work, and that you'll bring those who you want to listen and watch to bring them to watch the service and partake with us. We ask in Yeshua's mighty name, Lord, in Yeshua's mighty name, amen and amen. And now the blessing of the Messiah. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam. Asher kedushanu b'mitzvotav et derech ha-Yeshua b'Mashiach Yeshua. Amen.
Bless Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who has given us the way of salvation in the Messiah, Yeshua.
Amen.
Amen.
Did you give me just a tad more piano, please, in the monitor? Thank you.
Where you dwell, in the place where your glory resides, I shall prostrate myself and bow, bend the knee before the Lord my Maker. And as for me, may my prayers to you, O Lord, be at the right time. O God, in your abundant righteousness, answer me with the truth of your salvation.
Visham Ruvenei Israel et Hashabat. La sod et ha shabbat led doro tamburito lam. Visham ruvene Israel et ha shabbat. La sod et ha shabbat led doro tamburito lam.
B'nei Israel,
B'nei Israel, Othili Olam. Bishamru, B'nei Israel, Et HaShabbat, La Sod Et HaShabbat, Ledoro Tamburit Olam. Kisheshe Yamim Asadonai, Shemayim v'haaretz, v'shamru b'nei Yisrael et ha-shabbat, la'sod et ha-shabbat ledorotam barit olam. V'yom ha-shvi'i Shabbat v'nafash, Shabbat v'nafash, Shabbat v'nafash, v'shamru B'nei Israel et ha-shabbat, la'sod et ha-shabbat ledorotam barit olam.
The children of Israel shall keep the Shabbat, observing it throughout their generations as an everlasting covenant. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. And it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, and from one Shabbat to another, all flesh shall come to worship before me, says the Lord.
Okay. How many of you know what today is? Today's Shabbat. Amen. Good. Deborah knows what today is. Today is also, the beginning of optional tie season. Ties are optional for the rest of the summer. Hallelujah. Ooh, come on, can I get a glory, a whoop glory on that? Whoop glory. Whoop glory. All you ladies out there who wear ties, you don't have to wear them anymore. All right.
Oh, thank you, Rabbi.
You're welcome. You're welcome, my love. What's next, Shema? Or no, pray. Pray for Jerusalem?
For
okay.
Israel. We're going to pray for Israel.
Pray for Jerusalem, that there'll be peace again. The Lord will prosper them that love her. And for the sake of the house of the Lord our God, we say to Jerusalem, for Jerusalem, that there'll be peace no more. For God will bless them that love her. So for the sake of the city of our God, we pray for Jerusalem. Shalom Aleichem. Peace be unto you. Shalom Aleichem. These words we pray for you. Shalom Aleichem. Peace be unto you.
Father, we come before you and we pray for Shalom Yerushalayim. Your word says they will prosper. They shall prosper who love her. We love Jerusalem, Lord. We love your holy city, Lord. There's nothing like driving up the hill of the mountain of the Lord. Somebody help Aja come in, please. There's nothing like driving up the hill as you enter the city of Jerusalem and just entering, coming through that tunnel and coming out and seeing the old city right there before your eyes. I can't explain it to you if you've never been. Just driving up that hill, and King David wrote the Psalms of Ascent about that very same journey up the hill that he took thousands of years ago, almost 3,000. About 3,000 years ago, King David took that same journey up that hill, and he wrote that song about those Psalms. Psalms of Ascent. He wrote them about that rise, climbing that mountain to the city of Jerusalem, the city of our God. Hallelujah. We pray, Lord, for the peace of Jerusalem. We pray, Lord, that you would come to your people Israel and save them, that you would open their eyes, that Zechariah 12:10 would be fulfilled, that they would see their Messiah, Lord, that your spirit would pour out upon them, that they would mourn for you as a father mourns for an only son, that they would there would be grieving and mourning and Hadad Rimon, Lord, that they would come to know their Messiah in their time, in their desperate hour, Lord, when they realize that their military and all their rockets and power is not enough to save them from the attack of the world powers, Lord. And 2 minutes that they're when they're overwhelmed, that you're going to come in the clouds, riding on the clouds. Behold, he comes riding on the clouds, shining like the sun, riding on a white charger with your holy ones following you, Lord, to save Israel, Lord. That's when you're coming back. We just thank you. We praise you for that. If you don't believe me, read Zechariah 12-14. Zechariah 12-14. Hallelujah. Lord, we lift up the Messianic Jewish community today. I want to pray specifically. I thank you on a praise report for Rabbi Jacob Rosenberg, who's a young man about 40, 41 years old. And he's a PhD up there and rabbi up in Chicago. found a tumor in his spleen, and he had some kind of, I don't know, he got a good report, but they're still doing tests and stuff, but they had said it was cancer. And so we just pray, Lord, that even if it is cancer, that it's isolated, that it's in a sack, that by taking his spleen out, it wouldn't spread, and that we just pray for his healing, Lord. There's many other people with cancer and sickness, and you know who they are. I can't even name them all today. I pray for Aja, Lord. I pray for the pain in her leg, that you take the pain from her leg, Lord, and give her a good report on her MRI. For anyone in pain today, Lord, I pray that you take their pain and that you would help them through therapy, whether it's self-therapy or through physical therapy. I pray that you would heal. Lord, I pray for the rabbis today. And I pray, Lord, that you would just bless the rabbis, meet their needs, Lord, help them, especially the sick ones, Lord, those who are trying to retire, but they don't have anything to do. They don't have enough money to live on because they didn't prepare for retirement, Lord. I pray for them, Lord, that you would help those people, Lord, as they get feeble and they get older, Lord, that you would provide for them I pray, Lord, that you'd give them boldness to preach. They're not all old. I pray, Lord, that you'd give them they would not be afraid of man about, you know, losing tithers or whatever, but they would preach the word in power and prophetic power and anointing. Lord, I pray for our leadership that you would remove the spirit of Shebna and bring the spirit of Eliakim into our executive leadership. Take out the spirit of Shebna and bring in the spirit of Eliakim into our executive. Give us the heart of David, the heart of David in our executive. Give them the vision, the prophetic vision of the Davidic kingdom, Lord, of the son of David. Give us the prophetic vision of the son of David, Lord, in our executive leadership. Help us, lead us, Lord, and prepare us and bless this service now. Save our people Israel, lost sheep in the house of Israel, I pray, Lord, in Yeshua's name, save your people Israel, the Jewish people among the nations, in the diaspora, scattered among the nations. Open their eyes, help them to see their Messiah. In Yeshua's name we pray, we bless this service and bind the enemy. Bring the people out that you want to be here now. Amen.
Now the Lord says, he who formed Israel in the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob back to him, and gather Israel to himself, for he is honored in the eyes of the Lord, and God has been his strength. Is it too small a thing for Israel to be my servant, to restore the tribes of Jacob, and bring back those of Israel he has kept? He will also make Israel a light for the Gentiles, that he may bring my salvation to the ends of the earth.
Want to welcome the folks on live stream. We're glad you're with us today. We might have been having some trouble with our live stream, so if you got on late, but we're glad you're here and tuning in. And we have a great message today on Elijah's mantle and the double portion from Elisha, how Elisha received a double portion. And we're going to talk about Shavuot, but we're not only just going to talk about speaking in tongues, and we're going to talk about all the spiritual gifts, and we're going to talk about preparing for Shavuot, for Pentecost, and how the double portion relates to that. And it's a deep message. So I hope you'll stay with us for Elijah's mantle, which will be coming up afterward, and we're going to continue now. What's next, Miss Dawn? Okay, this is a song my lovely wife wrote called Those Who Sow in Tears.
Those who sow in tears shall surely reap in joy. Those who sow in tears shall surely reap in joy. Those who go forth weeping, bearing precious seed, shall no doubt come again with joyful sheaves of harvest. Don't you know the Lord? He longs to bring.
Hallelujah.
Bless the Lord. Hallelujah.
Amen. Let's all stand for the Shema.
Shema Israel, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai. Pluto Leolam Vaed Via Hafta Ed Adonai Elohecha Vachol Levavcha Vachol Nafshecha Vachol Meodecha Vahayu Hadivarim Ha'ele Asher Enochim Etzavcha Hayom Al Levavecha Vishinata Ha'am Levanecha Vidibarta Baham Vashivtecha Bevetecha ובלך תחה בדרך, ובשח בך, ובקומך, וקשרתם להיות על ידיך, והיו לטוטפות בין עיניך, וכתבתם על מזוזות ביתך, ובשעריך.
Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. Blessed is the name of his glorious kingdom for all eternity. And you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your might. And have these words which I command you this day be upon your heart. And you shall teach them diligently to your children. Speak of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you retire, and when you arise. And you shall bind them for a sign upon your hand. Let them be frontlets between your eyes. And you shall write them on the doorposts of your house, upon your gates.
Amen. I'm going to ask William if he would come up and help Anthony with the Torah. Anthony, you can direct that any way you want.
Just have him stand up.
Or you can go down the middle either way. Yes. William will go down the middle aisle, so if you'd like to kiss the Torah, if you can make your way toward the middle, he's going to go down the middle aisle today.
Oh, say,
answer to that is Ein kamocha ba'elim Adonai v'ein kamasecha. Malchutcha malchut kol olamim u'memsheltecha b'chol dor v'dor. Adonai melech, Adonai malach, Adonai imloch li'olam v'ed, Adonai oz li'amo yitain, Adonai yivarech et amo b'shalom. There is none like you among the gods, O Lord.
And there is nothing like your works.
Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom,
and your dominion is throughout all generations.
The Lord reigns, the Lord has reigned. The Lord will reign forever and ever.
The Lord will give strength to his people.
The Lord will bless his people with peace. Amen. Ya'amod Asher ben Zedekiah, Baruch et Adonai Hamvora,
Baruch Adonai Hamrak Lilam Vaed,
Baruch Adonai Hamrak Lilam Vaed,
Baruch Atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam, Asher Bakar Banim Michol Halim, Benatan Lanu Et Torato, Baruch Atah Adonai Notein HaTorah. Amen.
Bless the Lord, the blessed one.
Blessed
is the Lord, the blessed one for all eternity. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe,
who's chosen us from all peoples and given us his Torah.
Blessed are you, O Lord, giver of the Torah.
Amen. Now I can say it. Please be seated.
Okay.
And welcome, folks online, on live stream. I'm Rabbi Joe. This is our Yehuda Messianic Congregation, Bristol, Tennessee, Virginia, your southern connection to Israel. We are your Mid-South connection to Israel, and your local connection, if you live here. We are your local connection to Israel. And this is the lovely Rebbetzin Dawn heading down off the stage right now. There she goes. And we have Mr. Anthony Cody is about to bring our Midrash today. So we welcome you. We're glad you're with us. Stay tuned for my message on Elijah's mantle and the power of God for the end times, for the last days. Hallelujah.
Okay, today's Torah portion is from the book of Leviticus, and it's called Behar, and it means on the mount. And if you read it today, you will realize that the Israelites are at Mount Sinai. And I did a little bit of research, and I found that Mount Sinai is mentioned only one other time in the Bible, and that is in the book of Kings, and it's where Elijah flees to when he becomes afraid of Jezebel, and he seeks some solitude, so he flees to Mount Sinai. I believe in that part of Kings it's called Horeb. But, you know, Mount Sinai, just to speak about it just for a minute, it was a place of great drama. Not only did Elijah run there to hide, but it's where God gave the Jewish nation the Torah. And you see, when God came down, I was reading a little bit about some of the archaeologists are trying to find some of the biblical landmarks, and they were in, I believe it's Syria, and they found a mountaintop there, and the top of it's all black. And they said, well, maybe it's a volcano. But after researching, they found that it actually was not a volcano, but it's just charred earth on the very top of the mountain. And so they believe that is the place that God came back when he brought the Ten Commandments, and his presence filled the top of that mountain, because it's all charred and it's very black. If you can see some of the films, you can Google those, I think, on YouTube or something. There's quite a bit out there about the excavations of it. But today God gives Moses the mitzvahs of this sabbatical year, which is the Shemitah. You know, right now we're counting the Omer. It's seven weeks times 7 days. And the number seven always has a significant presence in the Scriptures. But God was telling Moses that on the seventh year, the land would observe a Shabbat for the whole year, or a Shemitah. And all of the planting and harvesting and plowing and preparing the fields would cease. And in that seventh year, anything that grew in that year, it would be free. They could not harvest it, but it went to the people that were in that area, that they could come in and take what they wanted out of the fields. There was no planting. I can remember when I was a kid, my parents had a farm, and they, every so often, they would not plant. I don't know if they were following the Shemitah or not, but how do you tell if it's a Shemitah year? You take the Hebrew year and you divide it by seven, and if it's no remainder, then it's could be a Shemitah year. You see, God promised us that if we keep his commandments, we will enjoy his prosperity and be secure in our homeland. In our homes, you'll be secure. If you don't follow God's commandments, you can have a harsh rebuke from God. And what we found today, God is telling them, if you don't follow my commandments and choose whom you will serve today, then you will be put in exile. You will suffer persecution, and evil will befall you. And that is from chapter 26. You see, God promised them a dwelling place. God says, I will make my dwelling among you, and my soul will not reject you. God will not reject you if you dwell in the shadow of him. You see, these promises also pertain to the Messianic kingdom that Yeshua, because he said when he comes, he will have his reward with him, and that will be the ultimate Yovel, the ultimate Shemitah. When Yeshua returns, that all of the things will be restored. You see, after every 50 years, seven Shemitah cycles times seven times is the year of the Yovel. At seven times seven is 49, and one is 50. And so it represents restoration. What happened during the Yovel, and when did they blow that? It says it was in it's like the return of Yeshua in Leviticus 25. It says, sound the ram's horn on the 10th day of the 7th month. And that would be Yom Teruah. And that was the sound that submits that the Yovel is being announced for a whole year of restoration. And what did that include? The land that your ancestors had would be returned to you, and it would be, all your debts would be relieved of you. That would be like you wouldn't owe anything anymore. What a concept. But you know, it was proclaimed by the sound of the shofar. You know, the shofar, not only it's the sound that Satan doesn't like to hear because he knows it's announcing God. So he doesn't like to hear the sound of the shofar, but we sound it here in the synagogue, and it sounded on Yom Teruah. It was also the sound of the battle cry, that God was mounting up with the Israelites, and he would go before them in battle. So it's just like Yeshua returning back. All every portion would be going to give him back to you. Life would definitely change when Yeshua returns to the earth. In Romans chapter 12, it tells us, don't conform to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you will know what God wants for us is good. He wants only good things for you. And satisfying, we can succeed if we follow God's teachings and instructions to us. You will succeed in life. We stand today, just to close this Torah portion, because it's really just about a chapter and part of another one. We stand at a crossroads today, and we can look at the ancient past and find the right one. God's scriptures are ancient, but they're still current and ever fresh every day. They have every day is a new day in God's word. And if you find the right path, you will find rest for your soul. That's Jeremiah 6:16 says, choose the ancient path and you will find rest for your soul. Colossians 3:2 says, set your mind on things above and not on things of this earth, because this earth is temporary. We're only temporary here. And the day that Yeshua comes and sets up his kingdom, then he will reign on the throne of David for 1,000 years. Shabbat shalom.
Asher Sam Moshe Lifnei Bnei Israel Al Pi Adonai Bia Moshe.
And this is the Torah that Moses placed before the children of Israel at the command of the Lord through Moses' hands.
Amen.
It's Harim Hi Mazikim Ba Tom Kleha Meushar Derachea Chenoam Lechol Tivoteha Shalom Ashibenu Adonai Elecha Benashuha
Wisdom is a tree of life to those who hold fast to her, and all who uphold her are blessed. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. Cause us to be turned to you, O Lord, and we shall return. Renew our days as of old.
Amen.
Amen.
You may be seated now.
Please be seated. And now we welcome the lovely Miss Dawn, First Officer Dawn Bell, as she comes and brings us her announcements. Let's give it up for First Officer Bell.
Praise the Lord. I get to stay for the whole service today. I don't have to go back to work till tomorrow afternoon, so praise the Lord. It's great to be here with you all. And once again, welcome everyone online to our service. And we're just thrilled that you joined us today, and hope that you will contact us and let us know how you feel about our ministry here. And if you have any questions, please feel free to contact us through email or the phone numbers that are available on the website, which is www.forzionsake.org. And there's all kinds of great things that we're posting up there all the time. So just check it out. And if you're in the area and drivable distance, we do invite you to come and join us. And it's much more intimate time when we are here together in person. So we hope that you can do that if you can. Just a few announcements as we continue, and as the rabbi has said a couple times, so he's got an exciting message. If someone, while I'm speaking, would go downstairs and get some newsletters, because I don't think any got brought up here. Rabbi, we just finished printing the latest one, and he's going to be preaching on the same message. It's downstairs. The newsletters are downstairs. Oh. Speaking of that, we're going to need some volunteers. I believe it's Tuesday is what Vicki had said, because we've got a holiday weekend here. So Tuesday is going to be the official day. I think she'll be around on Monday as well, so I'm pretty sure she will. So if anybody can work on Monday, let her know. Yes, so just let her know if you can work on Monday, but the official gathering to put everything all together is Tuesday, all day from 10 to 4. Anybody online, you are welcome to come and serve in our ministry. It's a great time to get to know us, to get to know what's going on, kind of just really have a ground zero feeling of For Zion's Sake Ministries, and just wonderful way to serve the Lord and to serve Israel. So if you would like to come and join us Tuesday here at the synagogue, 1128 New Hampshire Avenue, Bristol, Virginia, just give us a call so we have a heads up that you're coming. But even if you do show up, it's not a problem. We'll be here from 10 to about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. And there'll be lunch, there'll be snacks, there'll be music, there'll be prayer, and we'll have just a wonderful time, as we always do. Right, Aja? Yes. Hallelujah. We have quite a few ladies who come. They're from different churches, around the area, and this is their ministry. Fred Middleton. We have ladies and gentlemen, and Earl comes from time to time, so it's not just the ladies. We have a group of people. What's the matter? Oh, they might be in the office. If they're not in a box downstairs on the table, they might be in the publisher office. So, I was just saying that lots of people from other churches come and help us out. So it's not just our congregation. We do have quite a few supporters who are coming and helping. And so just want to say you're welcome to do that.
Yeah, just want to. Hey, everybody, if you enjoy the newsletter, if you're in the area and you're looking for a ministry, something to do, and you feel blessed. Many people tell me they one of my son's teachers, I was told, reads our newsletter and, is familiar with Dawn and I. And you don't have to be in this congregation to help. You can come fold the newsletter and you get the word out. That's biblical. Getting the word out is biblical. Habakkuk 2. Read Habakkuk 2. It says, let the one who writes the message on tablets give it to the messenger, and let the messenger run with it. Amen? So when you come and help fold with the newsletter, you're helping get the word out. You're running with it. Amen? You're getting it out. So that's one thing. And the other thing is, we invite you to come to service. A lot of people say, Rabbi Joe, I love your teaching. I hear all these wonderful compliments. And they ask me, say, what can I do for you? These people say on me in line, when I injured my back this week, earlier in the week. He said, what can we do for you? What can I do for you? Best thing you can do is come. Come to service. Come and join us. Come support Israel. Come. That's come right. And join us. Come be here. Come worship with us. Give up a few hours for the Lord on Saturday. You know, the Lord worshiped on Saturday. That was his day. Read Luke 4. It says, as was his custom, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath. And guess what? He went on 87 degree and 95 degree days in Galilee, which is very hot. Right now, I bet you it's about 95 degrees in Galilee. And he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath. And he didn't just go to the beach, although he lived by the beach, because I know where he lived. I've been there. And in Capernaum, it was right by the beach. But he didn't go to the beach on the Sabbath. He went to the synagogue. And you've got all weekend to do other things. You've got Saturday night, Sunday, Monday, this weekend to do other things. But you could be in the house of the Lord on the Shabbat, on the Sabbath. And if you don't believe me that the Lord kept Saturday Sabbath, read Matthew 28:1. That'll tell you when the Sabbath is, okay? Anyway, I'm turning back to Don because I'm starting to preach. Hallelujah. Amen.
What's the matter, Diane? Okay, I don't understand that. What is in that box? No, there was a box on the table downstairs. Did you look in the office itself? There should be newsletters everywhere. I printed at least five. There's. Look on the printer. Look on the printer itself. That's probably where it is. On the printer. I'm sorry. I'm. Hallelujah. I want it because I needed to reference a couple things. The first thing about it is that we are having a Shavuot service June 9th. Okay? And that's Sunday, June 9th. Here in the synagogue. And we're going to have a cookout afterwards, so there'll be food. We're going to have a wonderful time, and we want you to plan for that and come and worship the Lord on the Shavuot, the Feast of Pentecost, the conclusion of the season of resurrection. Actually, not the conclusion, but it's the kind of the climax of the season of resurrection, I would say. And the whole summer season is in the biblical times is a time of harvest and a time of bringing in salvation, but this is the climax of the resurrection, the season of resurrection, and the power. And there's so many themes to this wonderful holiday, and I hope that you'll come and celebrate not only in learning but by doing the feasts. You are imparted with supernatural gifts when you participate in these feasts. So it's one thing about learning about them. It's another thing to participate and to really receive, from the Lord an impartation concerning that feast. And the only way you do that is to come and gather with the people of Israel. That's right here. Okay? So I want to invite you for that. And we are also planning for Joshua's Bar Mitzvah, which... We had thought, there we go, yay, can you bring me one? And I'll show it. So Joshua's Bar Mitzvah, we are still nailing down the date because we haven't been able to get in touch with Ted Pierce, just a couple things. So Elijah's Mantle, Getting Equipped for the Last Days. This is a beautiful newsletter, and we have the dates for Shavuot in here as well. So just stay tuned for that. Seemed like there was something else I was going to say, but I think that's all we have as far as dates are concerned. So I'm going to pass it back to you, Rabbi.
Okay. All right. Test 1, 2. We're going to receive our tithes and offerings today. And again, we have a great message on Elijah's mantle. Receiving the power of God for the last days, and we're going to talk about Pentecost. We're going to talk about the Holy Spirit. We're going to talk about spiritual gifts. Stick with us. You don't have to be Pentecostal to hear what I'm going to say, although it doesn't hurt if you are. And we're going to take up our tithes and offerings. So Let's prepare to receive our gifts for the Lord, our tithes and offerings. And the Bible says the tithe is holy to the Lord. And Leviticus 27:31, the tithe is holy to the Lord. That means it belongs to the Lord. And the Lord says if we use his tithe, you can use the Lord's tithe, he says. He says in Leviticus 27:31, if you want to go to Disney World or Myrtle Beach and you want to use the Lord's tithe, he says, no problem. He says, you just owe him 20%. That's all. 20% interest, and you pay the 20%, and you can borrow his tithe. But he does say that. That's not me making it up. He also says, I will rebuke the devourer in your life, and I will. He says, you have holes in your pockets, he said. But I will rebuke the devourer, and I will pour out a blessing too big to contain for those who tithe. That's what the Lord says. So if you're watching online and you don't have a spiritual home and you watch this congregation as your home online and you'd like to contribute, there's a donate button right there. You can do so securely online, and you can give if you like through PayPal, or there may be one or two ways to give online there. Anyhow, God bless you as you give. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the givers, and we thank you for the gift. We thank you, Lord, for the tithes. We thank you for all the wonderful things you do for us, for your goodness, your mercy, your love endures forever, Lord. We thank you for your faithfulness and your kindness, your grace, and your loving kindness toward us. Now bless this offering 100-fold for the glory of your kingdom's sake. In Yeshua's name, amen and amen.
Very own, our God is not.
Lose hope in the Lord. Doesn't matter what we're going through. Amen. I tell you what, the devil's not going to give you hope. Let's just say that. The devil's not going to give me hope. Let's say it louder. The devil's not going to give me hope. He's not going to do anything for me. The devil's going to destroy my life. So let's hope in the Lord, because he's the only hope we have. Amen? To make our lives better, to make our lives sweeter. So let's just wait patiently for him.
This is one of my favorite songs. It's from Psalm 40. It's written by a guy named Paul David Hewson. I waited patiently for the Lord. Blind and heard my cry. He brought me up out of the pit, out of the miry clay. I will sing a new song. I will sing a new song. How long sing this song? How long to sing this song? How long to sing this song? Footsteps firm. Many will see and fear. I will sing a new song. I will sing a new song. I will sing it with me. Sing a new song. I will sing a new song. How long to sing this song? How long to sing this song?
See?
Kadesh.
She'll have a Nicol Haaretz. She'll have a Nibar Hoshimlo. That's from the Yom Yom Yeshua Do. She'll have a Nibar Hoshimlo. That's from the Yom Yom Yeshua Do. Sing unto the Lord, sing a new song. Sing unto the Lord, all the earth. Sing unto the Lord, sing a new song. Sing unto the Lord, all the earth. Sing unto the Lord and bless his name. Claim his salvation from day to day. Sing unto the Lord and bless his name. Claim his salvation from day to day. She'll have a night called Haaretz. She'll have a night, she'll have a night. She'll have a night called Haaretz. She'll have a night, Baruch Hashemo. It's from the Yom Yom Yeshua Do. She'll have a night, Baruch Hashemo. It's from the Yom Yom Yeshua Do. Let's sing unto the Lord. Sing unto the Lord, all the earth. Sing unto the Lord, sing a new song. Sing unto the Lord, all the earth. Sing unto the Lord and bless his name. Claim his salvation from day to day. Sing unto the Lord and bless his name. Claim his salvation from day to day.
I'll bet Bono never sang it this way.
Forget not all his goodness, bless his holy name. Oh,
bless the Lord, my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Oh, bless the Lord, my soul, my God, not always good. Bless His holy name. He will not always strive with us to keep His anger forever. It is He who gives life to us. He grants us forgiveness in His grace. Heaven is above the earth, so great is His love towards those who fear His name. As far as east is from the west, so far does He take our sins away. He takes our sins away. He takes our sins away. Let's bless Him. My soul and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Oh, bless the Lord, my soul, forget not all His goodness. Bless His holy name, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, my soul and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, my soul, forget not all His goodness. Bless His holy name, bless His holy name. I will exalt You, O Lord, for You have lifted me up. I call to You, Lord, for help, and You heal me. I will rejoice in the morning, at noon, and at night. For You have shown mercy to me, so I will dance. You have shown mercy to me, my heart will sing. You have shown mercy to me, fill me with joy, joy, joy. You have shown mercy to me. Exalt You, O Lord, for You have lifted me up. I call to You, Lord, for help, and You heal me. I will rejoice in the morning, at noon, and at night, for You have shown mercy to me. Let's dance before Him. I will dance. You have shown mercy to me. My heart will sing. You have shown mercy to us. Fill us with joy, joy, joy. You have shown mercy to us. You have shown mercy to us. My morning. Dancing, You removed my shroud, and now I'm clothed with joy that my heart may sing to You and not be silent, for You have shown mercy to me. So we will dance. You have shown mercy to me, my heart will sing. You have shown mercy to me, fill me with joy, joy, joy. You have shown mercy to me. You have shown mercy to me. You have shown mercy to You have shown mercy to me, Lord. Let's say it out loud. You have shown mercy to me, Lord. You have shown mercy to me, Lord.
You have shown mercy to me, Lord.
You have shown mercy to me, Lord.
You have shown mercy to me, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Merciful. Son of David. Son of David.
Yeshua.
Son of David. Yeshua. Son of David. Have mercy.
Hallelujah.
Son of David.
Hallelujah. Have mercy.
Son of David, have mercy.
Have mercy on us, Lord.
Have mercy on us, Lord. Have mercy on us, Lord. Son of David, over here. Over here, Son of David.
Hallelujah. Look on our.
Look over here.
Look on our.
Son of David.
Weakness, Lord. Look on us,
Father. Look over here, Lord.
Heal us, Father.
Have mercy. Have mercy, Lord. Oh, look over here, Lord. Son of David. Hallelujah.
We cry out for your hand of mercy to heal us. We are weak and we need your love to free us. Oh, Lord.
Thank you.
Created us. We are the sheep of your pasture. We are the work of your hand. We are the sheep of your pasture, Lord. You know, I have a question for you. If eternity has no beginning and no end, are we not in eternity? If eternity has no beginning and no end, when do you enter it? Something to think about. That's a serious question. If you have an answer for me, let me know, because I've been thinking about that. Eternity has no beginning and no end. Hallelujah. I think that we are constantly in the temporal and in time, but in a sense, when we allow ourselves to go into the Spirit, we enter into eternity. Because there's an eternal world going on around us, in us, and through us. You're an eternal being. Your spirit is eternal. Your spirit is eternal. When you die, when your body dies, like a shell, like the shell of a sea creature that sheds its shell, or a snake that sheds its skin, your soul, your spirit goes back to God who made it. That's what Ecclesiastes tells us in chapter 12. Your spirit goes back to God who made it. And so there's part of you that's eternal, that lives, and it will live on. It lived before, it lives now, it always lived. The only thing that's temporal is your body. Hallelujah. But there's a part of you that's eternal, that's kind of connected to the body you're in.
Thank you.
Jacob laid his head on a rock. He was in a hard place. His hard was heart. His mind was heavy. Life was not kind. But when he went to sleep, the Lord opened a door to heaven, and angels came down and ministered and gave him hope. Imparted to him something of eternity that never left him. Let's reach up. Don't reject him. I ask you, don't reject the Lord. Thank you.
Lord's table, and we invite you to join us if you're watching this Memorial Day weekend, this Shabbat. And Memorial Day is a very special holiday because we remember those who died sacrificing their lives for our freedom, those who gave their lives in service to this country for our freedom so that we could be free to have cookouts, to go boating on the lake, to go picnics with our families, to do whatever, you know, fun things we did get to do, and just to live our lives in freedom. I'm getting a little ring here out here on the outside, not the monitors. But so let's remember those who gave their lives this Memorial Day. Remember them. Don't just celebrate and have a good time, but stop by a cemetery, pay your respects, remember your loved ones who perished and who died in the wars. The anniversary of D-Day is coming up, and there's, I think of the thousands and thousands of young men, some of them not even 20 years old, 17, 18 years old, who died on the beaches of Omaha Beach and Utah Beach and were shot coming off the boats. They never had a chance. They never had a chance to marry. Some of them never had a chance to, in life, no children. They never had children. They never had a job. You know, they just went off to war and got in a boat and got shot. They trained, and that was it. That was it. So we want to remember those brave heroes. And my dad was in World War II. He fought Rommel. He traveled from Algeria to Tunisia and Libya and Tunisia and Egypt. He fought Rommel into Sicily and Italy, and he fought all the way to the end until they just defeated Rommel's army, and Rommel actually left. He was taken out by Hitler because his army was defeated. My dad was part of that campaign and fought in the desert. And you know, Dad and I didn't always see eye to eye. Dad and I didn't always get along. But I had the highest respect for my dad, for his achievements as a soldier. And I used to go to his reunions, and I was so honored to be around those men. I was around the Greatest Generation. I went to their reunions. The 79th Fighter Group, the 87th Fighter Squadron, the Flying Skulls. They're down at Eglin Air Force Base. There still exists. It's an F-16 group now at Eglin Air Force Base in Florida. That's the 79th Fighter Group, 87th Fighter Squadron. And they still exist today, the Flying Skulls. You can look up the 87th or the 79th. And you'll see the image. Pretty scary image on a plane. But that was my dad's group started it. And I used to weep being around those men, and they were just regular guys like you, like any of us. But what they did together, what they accomplished, and it had to be God. Yes. What they were able to accomplish had to be God, because they were just regular people like you and me, but they did amazing things. And we have freedom today. We can worship. We would be under Nazi rule today. God help us. We probably wouldn't even be here if it wasn't for what they did for us. And not only that, since then they've been protecting us at the 38th parallel in Korea. They've been protecting us from North Korea. They've been soldiers in Germany and Europe and Okinawa, all over the world, maintaining. And the Gulf Straits of Hormuz, maintaining the peace, keeping commerce flowing, and making it possible. And then, of course, fighting in the Middle East and Iraq and Afghanistan so that terrorism doesn't come to this country. You know, many have died, so we're very blessed. So we're going to go to the Lord's table. I'm still getting some ringy-dingy here. We're going to go to the Lord's table. And if you have some crackers or matzah, or some grape juice or fruit of the vine of your choice, Manischewitz, Carmel, whatever you use, you can get some ready. And I'm going to ask Carolyn, I'm going to ask Deborah if you come and serve. And we'll go to the table of the Lord. So let's do that now. And we invite you to join us if you're watching. Hallelujah. Baruch Atarnai Eloheinu Melech Haolam Borei Peri HaGafen. Amen. Blessed art thou, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who brings forth the fruit of the vine, and Yeshua, who said, I am the vine, and you are the branches. Whoever abides in me will bear much fruit. It was a Passover night when Yeshua took the third cup of the Passover meal, and he said, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, poured out for the forgiveness of sins on Passover. Luke 20:22. And he took the bread, we call it the afikomen, or afikomen, in Greek it's afikomen, and in Jewish or we say afikomen, and it means that which comes later. It's actually a Greek word, that which comes later, afikomen. And we break the middle meese, the mises. I bet the mises would love to break the middle meese. But we break the middle piece. And we break it into small pieces and we share it together after the third. The host will share it with each person at the table after the meal. And we take it together with the third cup. So I'm going to bless it. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam hamotzi lechem min haaretz. Amen. Blessed art thou, Lord our God, King of the universe, who brings forth bread from the earth. And Yeshua the Messiah, the bread of life who rose from the earth on the third day. Hallelujah. And so Yeshua said, as often as you do this in remembrance of me. And so we come to the table of the Lord to remember his sacrifice, his death. We memorialize Memorial Day for Yeshua. This is a memorial remembrance of what he did for us. Hallelujah. So that we could have not just freedom to work, freedom to live, freedom to play, but we have spiritual freedom and freedom to have eternal life and have the power of God. God bless you as you come. And I'm going to turn it over to you ladies. So prepare yourselves at home to join us. Ladies, come as you're, folks, come as you're ready. And if you don't know Yeshua, you know, my brother who's Jewish, he doesn't believe in Jesus. He watches Joel Osteen, and my cousin Sumner, he's 92 years old. He watches Joel Osteen too. They're Jewish. They like Joel Osteen. I know a lot of people have issues. Some with it don't like Joel Osteen. Some do. But anyway, they watch him. And every time at the end of his message, Joel Osteen says, you know, he prays a prayer and says, if you don't know Yeshua, if you don't know Jesus, you know, just you invite him into your heart. Invite Jesus into your heart. Ask him to forgive you of your sins, to come into your heart and dwell in you and by his Spirit. And he will. He'll forgive you of your sins. He died for your sins. He was buried 3 days and three nights, and he rose from the dead on the third day. If you believe in that, if you seek him with all your heart, he says he will let you find him. But you've got to seek the Lord, and time is short. So seek him while he may be found. Ladies, I turn it over to you. Amen. Amen. The meal that heals. Amen. Josh, would you get the chair here, please? Not the meal on wheels, but the meal that heals. do. Got to count the Omer today. But we remembered that we forgot to count the Omer. You have the prayer? It might be up there. I don't know. We can just... It's the fifth week of the Omer. Amen. Okay. To everybody, Deborah said, the meal that heals. Lord, release your healing. Thank you, Lord. L'chaim b'Yeshua, to life in Yeshua. Amen. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. I'm going to bring the message, Elijah's mantle, getting equipped for the last days. So stay with us. I believe God has a good word for you. I know I went through the fire to bring it to you. I know Elijah went through chariots of fire to help us have the story. And I went through fire just to write this message. But I wrote this message this week, miraculously, by the grace of God. So, anyway, waiting for the Facebook crowd to get on here. And so... You can't tell me what you're doing out there, what your plans are this weekend. How about you folks in here? Anybody have any special plans this weekend? No? Just kicking back. Going to your parents. Praise the Lord. Well, that's good. It's all good. It's all good. Sometimes just resting is all good. Are we on there, Isaac? Okay. Well, I want to welcome the folks on Facebook. Welcome everybody on Facebook. We're glad you're with us today. And we have today's message is Elijah's mantle. If you're not out in the sun or gardening or something, we have a message for you. It's called Elijah's mantle, getting equipped for the last days. Elijah's mantle, getting equipped for the last days. There's some red pillows kicking around. They might be downstairs. Could somebody grab me one so I could put behind my back here? Thank you. So if you turn to 1 Kings chapter 18 and 19. Thank you, Dan. Just stick it back there, right? Yeah, that's good. Thank you. All right. So turn to 1 Kings 18. Hallelujah. You know, I look at the pictures of what the guys in the Bible, that they think they looked like. And if those guys walked into your church, you'd probably think they were homeless. Most people would like sit 10 rows away from them because they didn't have deodorant in those days. And they didn't have showers. They had to either go into the river to bathe or they had to draw a bath, and it was a rare thing, so they didn't bathe as often as we do, and they didn't smell as pretty as we do. And people often talk about, like, Apostle Paul showed up at your service. Would you welcome him, or would you put him in the back of the back, you know, off to the side in the back somewhere? And keep an eye on him. Have the security keep an eye on him. Make sure he didn't cause trouble. It's a good question. Okay, today's message. Welcome, Facebook friends.
Elijah's mantle, getting equipped for the last days. After Elijah had slain the 400 prophets of Baal in 1 Kings 18, he fled to Mount Sinai, or Horeb, as Anthony was saying before, hundreds of miles away from where he was on Mount Carmel, because he was afraid of the wicked queen Jezebel, who wanted him dead. Elijah met with God at Horeb on Mount Sinai, and then God sent the prophet back to complete his work. So after God really encouraged, he fed him. You see, Elijah, after he ran, he ran away from Jezebel, and he kind of hid in the wilderness, and an angel appeared to him, and he slept, and the angel gave him sweet sleep, and he slept twice. He got a lot of sleep, and he had two meals. He ate two meals, and then for the journey, because he had a long journey, hundreds of miles to Mount Sinai. And that was in 1 Kings 18. So the fact that God sent Elijah angels to feed him and to care for him and, you know, to minister to him, after he had killed the prophets of Baal, the question of Elijah was running away in fear. But even so, in the midst of his fear, God was still with him. God was still with him. In the midst of his fear, say that, in the midst of his fear, God was still with him. God provided for him. And God took him through, went through the waters of fear with him. Isn't that comforting to know? Yes. That in our hour of need, in our hour of fear, that we're human, and even though it says fear not, it says it many times, and people always tell me this. They say, fear not. And it says it, they'll tell me it says it, you know, 365 times in the Bible. I don't know how many times it says it. It says it a lot. God said, Yeshua said, fear not. You know, fear not, fear not, fear not. But yet we still fear. Things happen and we fear. Amen. We fear for the lives of our loved ones. We fear when our kitty cats don't come home. We fear when our dogs run off. We fear when we're hurting, when we're sick. We fear when bad things happen. Things cause us to fear. Okay. But anyway, I'm going to focus on that. So Elijah fled to Mount Sinai, and God helped him get there, his angel. And he was fleeing from Queen Jezebel because she wanted him dead. And it was just kind of like Peter, when Peter said, Lord, I won't deny you. And he said it three times, I won't deny you. But yet still, in spite of that, Peter was terrified, and he ran away from that little servant girl that threatened him, and that said, hey, aren't you one of the ones from Galilee? And Peter, he was terrified, and he ran away, and he was weeping, he was grieving, he was weeping as he ran in fear. And so, but when Elijah met with God on Mount Sinai, he sent the prophet back. He talked to him, he had a chat with him, and he sent him back. He said, I want you to go back. Don't fear. Just go back. He said, go back. And I want you to do three things. I want you to anoint Jehu, king over Israel. I want you to anoint Hazael, king over Aram. And I want you to anoint Elisha as prophet in your place. That's what he told him. Go back. He didn't say Jezebel's going to kill you. He just said, go back there where you came from, anoint Hazael, king over Aram, anoint Jehu, king over Israel, and anoint Elisha as prophet in your place. And that's what he did. He went back. And so let's read on. Let's see what happened here. So in 1 Kings 19:19, it says, so he departed from there and found Elisha, 1 Kings 19:19, son of Shaphat. He was plowing with 12 pairs of oxen, and he himself, Elisha, was driving the 12th pair. Then Elijah crossed over to him in the field. The boy was a farmer. And he threw his mantle
He threw his mantle. Would somebody grab my tallit? I have a tallit in the bag back there. He threw his mantle on him, on the boy. And so he left the oxen and ran after Elijah, saying, "Let me please kiss my father and my mother, that I will follow you." This is a fascinating story, because how many kids are ready to serve the Lord? I mean, this is a young guy. How many kids are ready for a man of God to come throw a mantle on them and serve the Lord? Yes, thanks, honey. So he took his mantle, something like this, his prayer shawl, probably a garment not unlike this, if you know, in that day. And he took his garment, Elisha, and he tossed it, you know, over the boy, put it over his shoulders, you know. And the boy knew it, what it meant. He was anointing him. So the covering with this covering, everybody say covering. The covering of the mantle represented God's anointing. He didn't use oil. He didn't pour out a horn of oil like King David did, like Samuel did on King David. He put his mantle on the boy, his prayer shawl, his garment. And a man's garment represents, I'm all twisted up here. Your tallit, a Jewish man or any man who wears one, his tallit represents all that he is spiritually, is wrapped up in his prayer shawl. All that a man is wrapped up in his prayer shawl. They're very personal things. Jewish men are buried in these things. A Jewish man is buried in his prayer shawl. Usually a man my size would have one that's about 6 feet, 3 inches long. But since it's summertime, I wear a small one because it's cooler. When I was younger, I would wear a big, huge prayer shawl because I have one. And one day, I suppose, I'll be buried in one. That's what they do. You're buried in your prayer shawl. And that's what they do, because the prayer shawl represents it, God's covering. It represents his anointing. It represents everything that you are in God is wrapped up. That's why we wear these things. It represents our spirituality. Our substance is in this prayer shawl, is represented by it. Amen? And so it smells like me. It smells like the person who wears it. You know, I used to sit in synagogue with my dad, and I used to love to sit next to my dad in synagogue, and he was such a big man. I was a little boy, and I would sit next to him, and I'd take his prayer shawl. He had a big one, and I'd wrap it around me, and I would snuggle in with him when I could, when he wasn't standing up and praying, and I'd wrap myself in his prayer shawl, and I'll never forget it. You know, and I was supposed to receive his prayer shawl. My mother promised it to me, but I never got it when she passed away in February. I didn't get anything physical from them, except some pictures. But I wanted my dad's prayer shawl because that was special to me. Amen. Okay, so let's go on. So when Elijah put the mantle on Elisha, he was doing something very intensely personal. Intensely personal. Okay? All right. Now, so we can see that the anointing as prophet was represented by throwing his mantle, perhaps his cloak, his tallit, or prayer shawl, onto the young boy, signifying God had chosen him not just to be a prophet, not just a prophet, but Elijah's replacement. Just as David was anointed with oil by Samuel to be king, God can anoint in a variety of ways. Okay, I'm going to give you some examples. Okay, at the completion of his discipleship under the great prophet Elijah, Elijah asked Elisha if he could do something for the young prophet. And before being caught up to heaven, Elisha asked his teacher for a double portion of his spirit. Elijah responded, "You have asked a very difficult thing. Nevertheless, if you see me when I am taken from you," this is in 2 Kings 2, verse 10, if you see me when I'm taken from you, it will be so to you. But if not, it will not be so. So Elijah asked Elisha, the boy, his student, what can I do for you before I go? God's going to take me. I'm going to die. And if you see me go to heaven, everybody dies, but not everybody sees the Lord come and get you. Okay? Everybody dies, but not everybody gets to see the Lord come and get you with the chariots of Israel and the horses of fire. Amen? And the chariot of fire. But that's the way he came and got him. And how do we know Elijah died? Well, he was gone. That's number one. Number two, we know he died because in Judaism, it's customary to tear your garment. When somebody dies in Judaism, it's customary to tear your garment in grief, and that's exactly what Elisha did. When his master was taken up, Elisha tore his garment, which is in the Jewish custom of mourning the dead. So even though it was a very unusual death and funeral, it's a very rare, only Yeshua, Enoch, and Elijah had that happen to them where they were just taken up. But anyway, I'm not going to get into that, but to the finer points of that. Let's go on here. Okay, so at the completion of his discipleship under the great prophet Elijah, Elijah asked Elisha if he could do something for the young prophet before being caught up to heaven. Elisha asked his teacher for a double portion of his spirit. Elijah responded, "You have asked a very difficult thing. Nevertheless, if you see me when I am taken from you, it will be so to you. But if not, it will not be so." 2 Kings 10, chapter 2, verse 10. Elisha did see Elijah taken to heaven by a whirlwind, by the fiery chariot of Israel and horses of fire. He got the double portion he asked for. If you take the time to read, and you get in a boom, you might want to turn me down just a hair. He got the double portion he asked for. If you take the time to read 2 Kings 2, you will notice that Elisha demonstrates no miraculous power until he receives the mantle, the double portion of his master's spirit. In fact, if you read the chapter, you will notice, I hope he didn't turn me down too much, but in fact, if you read the chapter, you will notice that the other young prophets taunted Elisha prior to him receiving the mantle. So what's going on here? Basically, he had no power. Everybody say no power. He had no power until his master gave him the double portion of his spirit. Until he got ordained, until he got touched, until he got covered, until he got the anointing of the double portion, he didn't have power. And so we go to 2 Kings 2. We can see here in 2 Kings 2, let's read a little bit. Verse 1, now it came to pass when Adonai was about to take up Elijah by a whirlwind into heaven, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. Elijah said to Elisha, "Stay here, please, for Adonai has sent me to Bethel." Gilgal and Bethel are probably, I don't know, 20, 30 miles apart. And he was walking. And he said, "You stay here, Elisha." And Elisha said, "No way. I'm not leaving you. You're my good thing. Where you go, I will go. Where you die, I will die." It basically was the way he was thinking. So he said, "As Adonai lives, and as I live, I will not leave you." So they went down to Bethel. Then the sons of the prophets at Bethel came out to Elisha and said to him, "Do you know that Adonai is going to take your master away from you today?" And he said, "Yes, I know. Be silent." The Bible's so polite. Basically, you have these student prophets at prophet schools. There was a prophet school, a school of the prophets in Gilgal. There was a school of the prophets in Bethel. And there was a school of the prophets in Jericho that we see here. There may have been more, but Elijah visited three schools of the prophets. And he must have had messages for the teachers and the instructors, parting messages. you know, saying goodbye, bye to the students, you know. But meanwhile, the young prophets in training were making fun of Elisha. Na 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 na, the Lord's going to take your master from you today. You know, they were jealous of him. They were jealous of him because he was, his mentor was Elijah. You know, how, I mean, if you were going to be a prophet, who would you like to be your mentor? You know, I think Elijah would be a pretty cool mentor. Amen? So they were making fun of him, and he says, I know. They said, he says, your master's going to be taken from you. And Elijah, it says here, very politely, he says, yea, verily, I know it. Hold your peace. In other words, shut up. Leave me alone. Get off my back. I know he's leaving. I get it, you know. Stop picking on me. Okay, be silent. Then Elijah said to him, verse 6, stay here, please, for Adonai has sent me to the Jordan. And that's verse 6. For Adonai sent me to the Jordan. But he said, as Adonai lives and as you live, I will not leave you. So both of them went on. Then 50 of the sons of the prophets went and stood aside at a distance from them while the two of them stood by the Jordan. Elijah then took his mantle, wrapped it together, and struck the water. So Elijah took his mantle and he wrapped it together some way. You know, I figure if you're going to strike the waters, you take your mantle and you'll kind of give it an old... little twist, you know, and, you know, give it a flick. You know, he hit the waters, and it, and what does it say? It says, the waters were divided, and there, so the two of them crossed over dry ground. So Elijah struck the water with his mantle, and it parted the Jordan River, just like Moses parted the Dead Sea, and just like Joshua did it when he parted the Jordan River. Now, these miracles, he performed a miracle by striking the Jordan River with his prayer shawl. Now, as they were crossing over, Elijah said to Elisha, ask what I will do for you before I'm taken from you. So Elisha said, please let a double portion of your spirit be upon me. As I said, Elijah said to him, well, that's a very difficult thing you ask, but if you see me when I'm taken from you, it'll be as you say. So Elisha did see Elijah taken up to heaven in a whirlwind by a fiery chariot of Israel and horses of fire. He got the double portion he asked for. If you take the time to read all of 2 Kings 2, you'll notice that Elijah demonstrates no miraculous power until he receives the mantle from his the double portion of his master's spirit. In fact, if you read the chapter, you'll notice that the other prophets taunted Elisha prior to receiving the mantle. But after Elijah is taken up to heaven, something changed. Well, first of all, his mantle fell from heaven, and the boy took it up. He took the prophet's mantle. Now he didn't just borrow it. It wasn't just put over his shoulders. Now he got to keep it. Amen? Amen. The boy got to keep it. And he had a double portion. He had his own mantle and he has master. See, I got two on here. He had a double portion. That's what he asked for. And it was represented physically, tangibly by two prayer shawls. And then it says, so Elisha, verse 13, he then picked up the mantle of Elijah that fell from him when he returned and stood by the bank of the Jordan. He took the mantle of Elijah that had fallen off him, and he struck the waters and said, where is Adonai, the God of Elijah? As he indeed struck the waters, they parted here, then, and there. Then Elisha crossed over. When the sons of the prophets at Jericho saw him some way off, they said, the spirit of Elijah is rested on Elisha. So they came to meet him and bowed down to the ground. These are the ones making fun of him. And now they're bowing down to him. How amazing is that? Now they're bowing down because they recognize that he's the new man of God. He's the new big cheese. Amen? He's the big kahuna. He's the prophet. And so they came to meet him and bowed down to the ground before him and said to him, behold, now there are 50 strong men with your servants. Please let them go and search for your master. Perhaps the spirit of Adonai, the Ruach Adonai, has taken him up and cast him into some mountain or some valley. But he said, don't send them. because he knew he was where he was. He knew where he was. But let's go on. So we get that point. He got the double portion. He got power. Everybody say power. And all the young prophets on the other side of the Jordan realized that Elisha now had power like his master. In fact, he had a double portion of his master's power. He had a double portion. Okay. When you read about young King David having a horn of oil poured over his head by the prophet Samuel, or about Elijah throwing his mantle over young Elisha to anoint him prophet in his place, 2 Kings 2, or if you read about Yeshua, Jesus, blowing the Holy Spirit onto his disciples in John 20, verse 22, that's the first time they received the Holy Spirit. People think they received the Holy Spirit on Pentecost. It's widely taught in the church that the apostles received the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. But if you read John 20, 22, it says that Jesus, Yeshua, he breathed on the Holy Spirit onto the disciples. And he said, if you forgive any man's sins, they will be forgiven. If you retain their sins, they will be retained. And they received the Holy Spirit. Not a double portion. They received it once. They got the second portion on the day of Shavuot. Pentecost. Shavuot is the Hebrew word for Pentecost. Okay? And we're going to have a service here, a community Shavuot Pentecost service on Sunday, June 9th. 2019 at 5:30, and we're going to have a cookout following. So we invite you to come. You don't have to be Jewish. Just come and learn, and we'll have worship and celebrate with us. And June 9th at 5:30 p.m. Then we're going to have a cookout afterward. We should be done about 7, and then we'll have some dinner together. It'll be a fun night. We'll have a good time here. Amen. So join us on Sunday, June 9th. Okay. So let's continue. All right. So Yeshua blew onto his disciples in John 20. And so God has many ways of imparting his anointing, his mantle, upon people, whether it's breathing, whether it's oil, whether it's throwing the mantle over somebody, but let me say, spiritual gifts, everybody say this, spiritual gifts are not learned in seminary and don't come with a degree or a plaque. Spiritual gifts are imparted by God. Usually through his servants, okay? Spiritual gifts are imparted by your teacher, whoever your master is, your mentor in the Lord. They will impart their gifts to you as you spend time with them and get to know them. And this is important that you spend, and I used to do this as much as possible in my youth, when God put me with men of God to learn from them. I spent as much time from them learning as I could and gleaning and getting whatever I could get from them, because I knew that's why he had me with them. So when God puts a mentor in your path, and I remember when he sent me here, he sent me to Pastor Ed Bowers, and he told me, he said, when Pastor Bowers has a service, I want you to be at every service you can. As long as it's possible for you to be there, go to every service, go to every outreach, go to every covered dish, go to every prayer meeting. And I went to every single service, every Tuesday night prayer meeting, every Wednesday night service, every outreach, evangelistic outreach we did, everything, you know, I was there. So I was there for Tuesday night prayer, Wednesday night service, special outreaches, and Sunday services. And sometimes I didn't want to go, but I went anyway because God told me to. You know, when you don't show up for services, especially for Shabbat, when you don't show up for prayer, you're missing God. You're missing God. You're missing God. And you what grieves me, and I'm not trying to pick on anybody and single you out, but I'm just going to say this. It grieves me that it's the same people week after week that come to prayer on Wednesday night. It grieves me that it's the same people week after week, that other people don't come. If I'm your rabbi, And if Don and I are your spiritual authority, that means, you know, the Bible says your preacher is God's minister to you. Where it says it in Hebrews. The preacher, the pastor, is God's minister to you. Somebody find that verse. Can somebody just try to find that verse? The preacher is God's minister to you, you know, for a reason. To care for your soul. He's been entrusted. Hear me. Your rabbi, your pastor, has been entrusted with the care of your soul. So if I'm your rabbi, people call me, some people don't even know me, call me rabbi. And I tell them, no, just call me Joe. I'm not your rabbi. You don't, why call me rabbi? I'm not your rabbi. But if I am your rabbi, that means God has entrusted, and you know this in your heart. I don't have to tell you. I don't have to make you a member. You know, if God has entrusted me with the care of your soul. Amen? You know it. If I'm your rabbi, you know it in your heart if God has entrusted me with the care of your soul. And it says it profits you nothing to give your rabbi, your pastor a hard time because they've been entrusted with the care of your soul. Did you find the verse? Just look up entrusted with the care of your soul. Somebody look it up on a smartphone, please. Okay, let's go on here. So I believe if you come to your congregational prayer meeting, just as I went to mine, you're going to be blessed. You're going to bless your socks off because you're going to be in order. God is a God of order, and He wants you to follow order. He doesn't want us to be cowboys and cowgirls and do our own thing. He wants us to be in order. God is a God of order. If everybody in New York City, if New York City was chaotic, what if everybody went to Nathan's Hot Dogs in Coney Island because they all wanted a hot dog? If all of New York City went to Nathan's Hot Dogs at the same time, that would be like 20 million people going to Nathan's Hot Dogs. It'd be a little bit of a traffic jam, wouldn't it? But if you actually watch New York City at rush hour, it's kind of amazing. It flows this way and it flows that way. It flows this way and up and down inside, you know, the streets and the avenues. It works. The tunnels, people get out of the city. People get in the morning for work. How does it happen? How come are there backups? Yes, there are, but they end in an hour or so. You know, the traffic, it ends. And people get where they're going. It's a miracle that they don't all go to Nathan's Hot Dogs. You know? Okay. So, spiritual gifts are not learned in seminary and don't come with a degree or a plaque. Spiritual gifts are imparted by God, usually through His servants. I believe that principle still applies today. That's why a dozen rabbis laid hands on me and anointed me to be a rabbi in 2007. Months after my seminary studies were complete, what really made me a rabbi was God's anointing through them by prayer and the laying of hands. Is that biblical? Prayer and the laying of hands? I have a friend named Sam Smith. When Sam was a young pastor, he said to me, "Joe, I want the mantle of a great man of God. Some of them are leaving us, dying, such as Kenneth Hagin." You may not like Kenneth Hagin, but this is what he said. He said, "Kenneth Hagin, Oral Roberts," he's a Pentecostal, he said, "Kenneth Hagin, Oral Roberts, Billy Graham, Lester Summerall. I had been teaching on Elijah's mantle at the time, but I never thought to ask a man of God," this is Sam speaking, "for his mantle." Joe Bell, I never thought to ask a man of God for his mantle. I was preaching on Elijah's mantle, but I never thought to ask anybody for their mantle. Did you ever think of it growing up or in the last, you know, before you met me? Did you ever think about going up to Joyce Meyer or if you're a woman, or going up to, you know, some, if you meet, you know, Franklin Graham or something and saying, "Can I have your mantle?" Did it ever occur to you to go up to somebody like that? And you know, Paul Wilbur, you know, maybe you're a musician and you want a mantle for worship. to go up to Paul Wilbur and say, Paul, would you anoint me, and or Ted Pierce, or, and give me your mantle? Well, let's read on. I had never thought of it until Sam said that. And then shortly after he said that, it so happened that a famous Indian evangelist had come to town, brought here by Coach McCartney, Bill McCartney of Promise Keepers, and Dr. Gary Smalley, and some other well-known leaders. As I stood in Freedom Hall in Johnson City, Tennessee that evening in May of 2002, I heard Coach McCartney say, here stands a man, little Indian guy, that you probably never heard of, whose sandal laces I'm not worthy to tie. Now, Coach McCartney at the time was the leader of the biggest ministry in the world. Promise Keepers was bringing as many as a million men to Washington, D.C., a million Christian men to pray. And stadiums, they were filling stadiums with 30, 40, 50,000, 70,000 men, filled with men praying, men wanting to reclaim their spiritual leadership in the family. That's what Promise Keepers was about, that men would come back and repent and become the spiritual leaders of their families. And so Coach McCartney led that, and he said, I'm not worthy to tie this little Indian guy's shoes. Nobody knew who K.A. Paul was. So after he said that, it was true. I never heard of the little Indian evangelist who led crusades of 1 million or 2 million people in India and Africa, but was unknown in the United States pretty much. The plan was to bring Dr. Paul to the Bristol Motor Speedway for a crusade in July, 3 months later. Well, July came and went, and there was no crusade. I assumed God wasn't in the plan. However, I received a phone call in August saying that Dr. K.A. Paul was returning to a local high school to have a meeting. I told the person who invited me I was busy, and I was, but my plans canceled. A day or so later, and I received a call from somebody else inviting me to the same meeting. Well, I have a standard that I live by. If it's possible, and if it's biblical, I'll do it. Since I had no excuse, I went to the high school that night where K.A. Paul was speaking. There were only about 120 people there, and most sat in the back of the large auditorium. Dr. Paul said, Everybody come to the front. And don't worry, I won't lay hands on you. I remembered the words of Sam Smith, my pastor friend, young at that moment, and shouted, lay hands! Lay hands! It was then that I heard a voice in my heart say, Joe, when this meeting is over, I want you to go up to that man, Dr. Paul, and ask him for his mantle. I want you to go, yeah.
Hebrews 13, go ahead.
Okay, thank you. Hebrews 13 what?
17.
Okay, thank you. Hold on to it. I'll have you read it in a moment. Okay, so I went up. As soon as that meeting was over, I went up to Dr. K.A. Paul, and I asked him for his mantle. Now, I had met him once, and usually when you meet somebody, what do? You shake their hand, right? Amen?
Amen.
I met him that first time when he came to town, and I shook his hand. I didn't ask him for his mantle in the midst of 5,000 people at Freedom Hall. But the second time he came back, I made my way to the stage as fast as I could, and while other people shook his hand, then I took when my turn came, I said, Dr. Paul, I asked Dr. Paul for his blessing and for his mantle. He knelt down and called the fire of God down on my head. He prayed for me. I received a mantle, and within 3 months, I was speaking on a panel at the National Press Club with Governor Mike Huckabee, Dr. K.A. Paul, Dr. Gary Smalley, Ricky Skaggs, Dr. E.V. Hill, and many other famous leaders among the crowd. And there was Rabbi Joe Bell, little rabbi of Bristol, chief rabbi of Bristol, Tennessee, and Virginia, at the National Press Club in Washington, D.C., being put up in a five-star hotel with these famous men and men of God and people I didn't even know. And there I was, and they took me out to dinner, and they gave me a beautiful room, and it was amazing. And there I was with Mike Huckabee and Gary Smalley and Ricky Skaggs and Dr. E.V. Hill, famous preacher. And many I remember the scripture, Proverbs 18:16 says, a man's gift makes room for him and brings him before great men. A man's gift makes room for him and brings him before great men. What was I, the Messianic rabbi from Bristol, doing in that crowd? I'm convinced it was the gift of God. I met and chit-chatted with Governor Huckabee, Ricky Skaggs, and Gary Smalley, but most of the day I found myself next to the famous pastor from Los Angeles, Dr. E.V. Hill, who used to be on TBN all the time before he passed away in the first decade of the 21st century. I found myself seated next to him. We became friends. I gave Dr. Hill a book about the one new man in Messianic Judaism. It was titled Your People Shall Be My People by Don Finto, Amy Grant, and Michael W. Smith's pastor at one time. And Dr. E.V. Hill read the book all day. He was just kind of a long day. He was just reading the book. He was reading through it and learning about Messianic Judaism from a Christian pastor's perspective. Later in the day, while Governor Huckabee and Dr. Paul went to a meeting of governors, the rest of us waited in the lobby. It was at that moment I felt a voice inside me say, Joe, I want you to ask Dr. Hill for his mantle as a pastor. I was just sitting there with Dr. Hill. We'd become friends, me and E.V. Hill. I mean, I don't know if you know who E.V. Hill is, but if you do, it's like it's like knowing Lester Sumrall. It's like sitting with Lester Sumrall or sitting with some famous pastor, all day long and becoming pals with him. And all of a sudden, God said to me, I want Joe, ask him for his mantle, but specifically as a pastor. Why? Because I was an evangelist. God called me to be an evangelist. The rabbi thing is something, it was an act of obedience. I had once had a gal who managed the bagel shop. She was a librarian. She wasn't a bagel shop manager or a restaurant manager. She was kind of introverted, quiet, and kept to herself. And God picked her to be the manager of the Manna Bagel Company. And for several years, it was a very difficult task, and it caused her to have to come out of her shell. It's easy when you work in school, when you work in a library, nobody talks, right? In college, if you've ever gone to college, no talking in the library. And in private school, oh boy, we could get punished if we talked in the library. Nobody talks. Libraries are places to hide. You can hide in a library. A good library has plenty of places to hide, cubbies, and you can go take a nap and hide. Nobody will find you. You want to get away from people? Go to a library. I'll tell you, that's a great place to hide. So anyway, but if you want somebody to take them out of the hiding place and bring them out in the open, bring them to a bagel shop. Well, let's go on. Okay, so there I was in Washington, D.C. with all these famous people, and I knelt down on one knee, and the older man, E.V. Hill, placed his hand on my head and prayed his mantle of the shepherd on me. Wow, God was equipping me as a pastor, as a greater evangelist, and for things I had no idea were to come, or even still to come, because Romans 11:29 says, "For the gifts and the calling of God are without repentance." For the gifts and the calling of God are without repentance. For those of you who know who Dr. T.L. Lowry is, I received a double portion anointing from him. Very strong double portion anointing from Dr. T.L. Lowry, one that I've since passed on to several other pastors who've asked me for it because he's gone now, and only people who have received that double portion can pass it on. Amen? So I'm one of them. And not everybody, only the night I was there when he spoke, only two or three guys were anointed. I know I received it. I don't know how many, it might have just been me that night. So it's not a common thing to have the double portion from given by God through Dr. T.L. Lowry, who's gone now, gone on. And I'm not even in the Church of God. But I got it. I got the gift. Without repentance. The gifts and the callings of God are without repentance. That means they're forever. That's Romans 11:29. 1 Corinthians 14:1 says, pursue love. yet desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. You can't buy them at Target or Costco. Spiritual gifts are imparted the same way today as they were throughout the Bible, with prayer, with the laying of hands, with mantles, with anointing oil, or a combination of the above. And just because you attend seminary doesn't guarantee that you'll receive an anointing and gifts. Seminary can be good for study and edification, but it'll never make you preach like Billy Graham. That's not something you learn. You either have it or you don't. You've either got it or you don't. Amen?
Amen.
You can't buy it. You can't go to Costco. You can't go to Target and say, pull off the shelf how to preach. Yeah, you can learn how to preach, but that's not going to make you Billy Graham. That's something that's either in you. You've either got the stuff or you don't. Okay? Praise the Lord. If you're a famous pianist or, classical pianist or Andrea Bocelli, you either got the voice or you don't got the voice. Amen? Amen. All right. Okay, Shavuot. Pentecost is coming. Shavuot is coming. For those who don't know, may not know, Shavuot was the holiday that all those people were gathered in Jerusalem to celebrate in Acts chapter 2. Christians know it by the anglicized name Pentecost, from the Greek Pentecoste, as in 50th. In Leviticus chapter 15, the sons of Israel were commanded to observe at least a feast 50 days from the first weekly Sabbath during Passover. Leviticus says to count seven Sabbaths, 7 weeks from the Sabbath of Passover plus one day, thus amounting to 7 weeks plus a day, or 50 days. The Hebrew Bible calls it the Feast of Weeks because it's 7 weeks plus one day, and Christians call it Pentecost, or 50 days, 50th. You say tomato, I'll say tomato. That's the difference. Feast of Weeks, Feast of 50 days. Okay, Shavuot is the Hebrew name. Pentecost is the Greek name, or the anglicized Greek name. It is truly the only holiday that Messianic Jews and Christians and Jews have always shared in common from the start. They don't necessarily celebrate it the same way, but it's the same. It's a holiday that we share and have always shared. So, what does Elijah's mantle have to do with Shavuot, Pentecost? The answer is the double portion. What does Elijah's mantle have to do with Shavuot, with Pentecost? The answer is the double portion. Deuteronomy 21:15-17 tells us that the inheritance of the firstborn son is a double portion of all that his father has. Hebrews 12:23 tells us that you are part of the assembly of the firstborn. If you are in Messiah, therefore your spiritual inheritance as a believer is a double portion. Amen? You belong. Hebrews 12:23 says, if you are part of the assembly of the firstborn, you are in Messiah. Therefore, your spiritual inheritance as a believer, since Deuteronomy 21:15-17 tells us the inheritance of the firstborn is a double portion, then your inheritance as a member of the body of Messiah, as a member as the firstborn, what's your inheritance? Double portion. The inheritance, the inheritance of the firstborn is the double portion. Amen? And this tends to be true. My brother was given two furniture stores by my father. I got none. He got a double portion. I got nothing. Okay? Generally, the firstborn gets the double portion. It's traditional. It's the way it's been through history. Especially if the firstborn is a male. Spiritually, we are all firstborn. Bill, you're a firstborn. Diane, you're a firstborn. Carolyn, you're a firstborn. Aja, Earl, you're a firstborn. Deborah, you're a firstborn. Amen? What's your inheritance then? A double portion. A double portion of the Spirit. Okay? So God wants to give His firstborn, His firstborn, He wants to give them their inheritance. Remember old Esau and how he gave away his birthright? He was the firstborn. What was his birthright? A double portion. Guess what who he gave it to?
His brother.
He sold it to him for a bowl of lentil stew, right? He didn't value it, did he? And he lost it for a bowl of lentil stew. Amen. So what's the point there? The point is that you can lose it. You have, first of all, you don't just automatically get it. Number one, we're going to talk about this. I'm almost done here, but just let me finish. Okay. So Elijah gave Elisha a double portion, 2 Kings 2. David was anointed king twice, first by Samuel in 1 Samuel 16, and then again by the men of Judah at Hebron. See Samuel, 2 Samuel 2, verse 4. The men of Judah came up to Hebron, and they anointed David king over Israel. So David was anointed twice as king, first by Samuel, then by the men of Judah. He received a double portion of the Holy Spirit. In John 20:22, the disciples received a double portion. First in John 20:22, Yeshua breathed on them, and then again in Acts 2:4, under the new covenant, on the day of Pentecost, the Spirit came down on them, and it says they received the Holy Spirit. Amen? And they spoke in tongues. Why? Because they were all firstborn sons of the Spirit. Hallelujah. Your inheritance, should you choose to accept it, read 1 Corinthians 14, is to receive a double portion. I'm going to turn there. 1 Corinthians 14. I am almost done. 1 Corinthians 14. Some special cases like Moses and you know, Paul, they had to get their gifts because they had big callings and God made sure they got it. But other folks, not that God loves us less, but sometimes we have to pursue it. And so it says here in 1 Corinthians 14, pursue love. I talked about being a leader. Love is the number one quality of a leader. Love, loving the sheep. Okay, and eagerly desire spiritual gifts. It says desire them, but especially that you may prophesy. For one who speaks in a tongue speaks not to people but to God. For no one understands, but in the Spirit he speaks mysteries. But one who prophesies speaks to people for building up, urging on, and uplifting. One who speaks in a tongue builds up himself, but one who prophesies builds up the community. Now I want you to all speak in tongues, Paul said. And, you know, in some churches who aren't Spirit-filled, they say, we follow Paul. I heard this one recently. They say, we follow Paul. I guess they skipped this verse where it says, Paul says, I speak in tongues more than any of you. But I want you all to speak in tongues, but even more that you would prophesy. One who prophesies is greater than one who speaks in tongues unless he interprets so that the community may be built up. But now, brothers and sisters, so he's teaching about spiritual gifts. But I just want to say something here, and I'm going to go on finish. I'll talk about tongues, okay, in a minute. So Elisha gave Elijah a double portion. I talked about Jesus blew his spirit in John 20:22 on his apostles. Then again in Acts 2, they received a double portion. David received two portions of the anointing because they were firstborn sons of the Spirit. Amen? Your inheritance, should you choose to accept it, as we just read in 1 Corinthians 14, I encourage you to read it, is to, in verse 12, in chapter 12, too, receive the double portion, your spiritual gifts and power. Do you think Peter, who denied Jesus, ran away from a young girl, would have found the boldness to preach to thousands on the temple steps just 30, 40 days later, 50 days later, after he ran away from the Lord? He ran away in fear. Would have found the courage if he didn't have a double portion of the Spirit on the day of Pentecost? Without the double portion of the Spirit or the baptism of the Holy Spirit, as Christians know it, today, that's another word, way of calling the double portion, as mentioned in Mark 1, John 1, Matthew 3, and Luke 3. Again, Mark 1, John 1, Matthew 3, and Luke 3. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is something you have to ask for, just as Elisha asked Elijah for the double portion of his Spirit. Folks, it's not a Pentecostal thing. This is not a Pentecostal thing or a charismatic thing that I'm talking about. Although those groups tend to operate in the gifts and anointings more freely, I'm talking about your inheritance as God's firstborn who doesn't want their father's inheritance. I'm talking to you as God's firstborn who doesn't want their father's inheritance. If God is your father, amen, you want his inheritance, right? What normal person doesn't want their father's inheritance? Raise your hand if you don't. Esau didn't. He sold it for a bowl of lentil stew. Conclusion. 1 Corinthians 14, 1-40 speaks of spiritual gifts. Verse 1 tells us to pursue love and eagerly desire spiritual gifts, especially that you may prophesy. Most of us have to ask God for the gifts, unlike King David, who was a special case. Brethren, you'll never know what you could accomplish for God if you deny his power. You will never know what you could accomplish for God if you deny his power. If you read 2 Timothy 3:5, it says, there are those who having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. Who? Timothy's talking to Christians. He's talking to believers. He's talking to churches. And he's saying, there are those of you who have a form of godliness, but you deny the power thereof. Timothy says, from such people, turn away. Get away. If you're in a group that has a form of godliness, alleluia, alleluia, you know, they have a form of godliness, and they sing hymns, and they read a little Bible, but there's no power. Nobody's getting healed. Nobody's getting saved. God's power isn't moving. You know, you have to ask yourself, you know, if you've seen people healed where you are, if you've seen people touched, you know, in your time being wherever God's placed you, if you've seen the Holy Spirit move, you have to, you know, think about that, okay? So having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, if you from such turn away. Friend, these are not my words. My teaching is straight from the Bible. So to deny it is to deny the author of the Bible, not me. Okay? I'm just giving you the word. So I'm just the messenger. Save your arrows for somebody else. Send them to God. you want to take them on. Take them on. I'm just preaching the word. Again, I say, you are the firstborn, Hebrews 12. Your inheritance is the double portion or the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It's not just for the occasion of speaking in tongues. To my Pentecostal friends, having the double portion isn't just about speaking in tongues. The gift varies. In Elisha's case, it was to make him the number one prophet, prophet numero uno of his day. In David's case, it was to equip him as king over Israel. In the apostles' case, it wasn't just to speak in tongues, it was to empower them to bring the gospel to the nations, to the Gentiles, and to be able to perform signs and wonders to make them great evangelists. How many? Peter preached, and 3,000 were added in one day. But there were more than 3,000 there. There might have been 6,000 or 5,000. 3,000 were added. Peter preached. 3,000 got saved. How many of you have ever preached and 3,000 people got saved? How many of you have ever preached and 200 got saved? Raise your hand. How many of you ever preached and 150 got saved? How many of you ever preached and 120 have gotten saved? How many of you ever preached and 100 got saved? How many of you ever preached and 50 got saved? How many of you ever preached and 25 got saved? How many of you ever preached and 15 got saved? How many of you ever preached and 3 got saved? Praise the Lord. Okay, so that's what it's about. It's not about tongues. It's about equipping you with the gifts of God, the inheritance, the double portion, because you're the firstborn, and God wants to give you his inheritance. Glory to God. Isn't that awesome? Your Father wants to give you his inheritance. Your Heavenly Father wants to give you his inheritance. How awesome is that? Praise God. I'm not too excited. I'm excited. I heard the voice of the Spirit say recently, you are in a season of inheritance. This is recent. Prophetic word. He said, you are in a season of inheritance to me. For you. To tell you this. That we are in a season of inheritance. You listening. You watching. Anybody out there. You are in a season. We are entering a season of inheritance. Many people have been coming up to me and saying that we are in a season of breakthrough. Others have been saying we're in a season of financial breakthrough. That may be the case, but why? Well, first of all, I think while some may experience financial breakthrough, for others it's more about spiritual breakthrough. Jeremiah 29, 10, 11 says, "For thus says the Lord, after 70 years for Babylon are complete, I will visit you and fulfill my good word toward you to bring you back to this place, to Israel. For I know the plans I have in mind for you, declares Adonai, plans for shalom, not calamity, to give you a future and a hope." Friends, this month marked the 71st anniversary of the rebirth of the state of Israel. It was a week and a half ago. That was the date of the actual 71st anniversary of the rebirth of the state of Israel. What did Jeremiah say? After 70 years for Babylon are complete, I will visit you and fulfill my good word toward you to bring you back to this place. We're in the 71st year. Wow. Rabbi Kokeb pointed that out to me. Since the rebirth of the state of Israel, God told Jeremiah, after 70 years, I will visit you and bring you back. He had other good things for his people too. Just look at the powerful spirit that was on Ezra, Nehemiah, Zerubbabel. The double portion is about equipping God's people, both Jew and non-Jew and Messiah, for the last days and for the restoration of the land of Israel to the land of Israel. Friends, if you've ever been to Israel, Christian friends, if you've ever stepped off the plane at Lod Airport in Tel Aviv and you felt like you were home, it's because you were. God wants to bring you back to Israel. He wants as many Christians and Jews, Messianic Jews. The Bible says there's going to be so many of us there one day, we're going to say, move, make room for me. I can't move my arms. We're going to be so crowded there one day because there's going to be so many people in the land. They're going to say, move, make room. I can't, there's not enough room. It's happening now. It's getting so crowded over there. Did you know, three years ago, Jerusalem was the number three real estate market in the world. Whew, my goodness. I wish I bought a condo there 16 years ago when I went. I could have got a three-bedroom condo right outside the Jaffa Gate for $750,000. That $750,000 condo would be worth about $15 million today. Wow. Dumb, dumb, dumb. But I didn't have $750,000. I didn't even have the down payment then. So anyways, we're in the 71st year. This is a year of restoration. God wants to give you his inheritance, the power for the last days. What he's saying is, I'm going to pour my power out on you so that to equip you to be able to restore the land of Israel, to restore the body of Messiah, to restore the hearts of the fathers to the children, to restore the hearts of the children to the fathers. This is the calling of Elijah. To restore all things. The calling of Elijah, it says in Malachi, is to restore all things. Or Jesus said in Matthew 17, Elijah is coming, and already came, but they didn't recognize him and did to him whatever they wanted to. In Matthew 17, he says, but I say this, Elijah is coming again to restore all things. I don't know what all things are, but Elijah is going to restore them, including the hearts of the fathers to the children. Get ready. That power is available to you. Just don't sell it for a bowl of lentil stew. Amen? Don't sell your birthright. Seriously. I beg of you. Don't throw it away. And how can you say, what's your lentil stew? When you walk away, when you turn away from God. When you turn away from God, when you leave your calling, when you abandon the calling of God on your life, as so many I've seen in my walk away, like the rich young man in the Bible, God, Jesus called him personally. Sell everything and follow me. And he couldn't do it. And he went away in tears. It says Yeshua loved him. Yeshua loved him. But he couldn't follow him. He didn't get his inheritance. He took his earthly inheritance over his spiritual inheritance. You know, I gave up. I was willing to give up. I was willing to give up my my earthly inheritance, and was actually told at one point that I had been disinherited. And then my mother restored me. Later on in life, my father passed because I accepted Jesus. My father passed away, and my mother put me back in the will. Praise God. I didn't know it. But I was willing to give it up. I was willing to give it up, the physical, the earthly inheritance, to receive the spiritual one. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. The double portion is about equipping God's people, both Jew and non-Jew, in Messiah for the last days and for the restoration of the land of Israel. Are you ready? And do you have your passport? Do you have your passport in case you need to go? In case you need to go quick? In the Exodus, it says, Moses said they had their loins girded, their staves in hand, and their sandals on their feet, ready to go at a moment's notice. Exodus 12. Are you ready to leave? I was going to tell you something. In 5 years, when Donald Trump's finished being president, this country is not going to be the same place. And if you're not a Green New Deal person, it's not going to be a good place for you. I'll just tell you that. If you're not a Green New Dealer, or if you don't believe what do they call it, infantile abortion, which I don't, if you're not a pro-infantile abortion, and the lines are being drawn right now, folks. States are voting against abortion, period, and other states are voting for killing babies after they're born. The lines are being drawn in this country. I'm telling you, Daniel 8 says this country, Donald Trump is the goat of Daniel 8, and we're about to go to war with Iran. Read Daniel 8. The ram is Persia, is Iran. I've said it 3 years ago. We're going to have a war with Iran. We're sending troops there. Iran, we won't start a war with them. They'll start it with us. We're sending 1,500 troops, I heard it last night, to defend with missile defense. 1,500 troops for missile defense to protect our assets, not to attack, but to defend us. 1,500 troops over to the Persian Gulf and a strike carrier strike force. Donald Trump's not looking for war, but if the Iraqis attack, if the Iranians attack, which Daniel 8 says they're going to do, they're going to provoke the goat, who I believe is Donald Trump in Daniel 8, and he's going to destroy their nuclear capability. And why is he going to do that? He has to destroy it. Because if we don't destroy Iran's nuclear capability, they'll nuke Israel and the United States. And you know what? The Bible doesn't say Israel is nuked. It says in Jeremiah 33 that Israel will go on forever and ever. It will never be destroyed. As long as there's stars in the sky at night and the sun by day and sand on the, sun, there's going to be an Israel. Amen? So Israel's not going to be nuked. It's not going to be destroyed. It will be invaded. Ezekiel 38 and 39, Revelation 16, there will be invasions of Israel, but it's not going to be nuked. Okay? So it's not going to be destroyed.
Amen.
So if God were to allow the Iranians to blow up Israel, then God's word wouldn't be true and God would be a liar. But we know that God's word is true and God isn't a liar. And that's why he's using Donald Trump, the only person in the United States with the gumption to actually fight Iran. Because no other president since Jimmy Carter has had the gumption to fight. They even God bless Ronald Reagan, they killed 200 Marines or more, 250 Marines in a barracks in Lebanon, and we didn't fight back. The Iranians killed 250 Marines. You want to remember something on Memorial Day, remember that. 1982, I think it was. They killed over 200 Marines in a barracks. The Iranians did it, and we didn't fight them. God help us. But our president today, he's not going to take it. Somebody's at the front door. He's not going to take it. Our president today, they just opened the door. He's not going to take it. And they will provoke a fight. They will provoke a fight, and they will be destroyed. Iran, you watch, you mark my words. Iran will be destroyed. All right, I'm done. Get your passports, because you're going to Israel. If you believe in what I'm saying, you're not going to want to live here. Because if you read Daniel 8, you'll see that America is going to be divided into four countries. And I'm going to tell you, the dollar, before Donald Trump leaves office, the dollar is going to be destroyed. You're going to get 10 cents for your dollars, whatever new currency there is. The Constitution will be torn apart. You can see the lines being drawn for the new states, for the new country, because Alabama voted against abortion. Was it Mississippi or Missouri that voted against abortion? Which state? Missouri voted against abortion. Other states are voting for infantile abortion. You can see the lines being drawn. Some states out west they're voting to do away with the Electoral College and let count all the votes numerically so that your vote doesn't count. Because the only reason your vote counts is because of the Electoral College, which gives delegates for every state, has a certain amount of delegates. If it was just based on numbers, then California and New York would decide, and Florida would decide, and Dallas in Texas, those cities would decide who the next president is. But because of the Electoral College, Tennessee has a say, and Kentucky has a say in the election of the president. Amen? Praise God. So we want the Electoral College because we live in this area, and we need our voice to be heard. So we can see the lines being drawn. Anyway, come to our Pentecost celebration on Sunday, June 9th at 5:30 p.m. All are welcome. Bring some hot dogs if you want. We're going to supply hot dogs and buns and maybe some hamburgers you want to bring some drinks or chips or goodies, whatever. We're going to have a celebration. We're going to worship. And then we're going to go out and have a cookout and have a good time. That'll be at 5:30 on June 9th. Let's all stand up. I want to bless you. Bring a friend. Come join us on Shabbat on Saturday mornings. You don't have to be Jewish. I'm going to change this congregation's name from Lion of Judah to You Don't Have to Be Jewish, Messianic Jewish Congregation. And the Lord said to Moses, people always ask me that. They say, do I have to be Jewish to come there? I say, no. You just have to come. And people say, I want to help you, Rabbi Joe. How can I help you? Come. All right. And the Lord said to Moses, tell Aaron, this is how you shall put my blessing upon the people. Yivrechech Adonai v'yishmarecha. Ya'ir Adonai panav elecha v'chunecha. Yisa Adonai panav elecha. Vayesem lecha shalom. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. In the name of Yeshua the Messiah and Prince of Peace. Shabbat shalom and happy Memorial Day. God bless you all. Thank you for coming. And we'll see you next week. Or maybe sooner. Come to prayer on Wednesday night. God bless. Shabbat.
We on? Camera on me? Hi, everyone. Shabbat shalom. Just as a reminder, you're watching Ari Yehuda Messianic Jewish Congregation in Bristol, Virginia, and we just thank you for watching a rebroadcast of one of our archives that Rabbi talked about today. So any announcements and things he said about June 9th coming up, that's not –